Once again, I'm actually ministering on Communion Sunday, but this Sunday I'm not going to do a communion message. If you want to hear a good one, you can hear, go back to June. I preached a great one then. But this Sunday I decided to do something different. In fact, I know one year I preached four or five times, and it was always the first Sunday of the month, and I kept having to do Communion Sundays. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to do something else. We are going to take communion, but the message is not going to be about communion, but it's going to be about Jesus, and anything about Jesus is about communion. Amen. But I'm going to start off with talking about a kids' game. Anybody ever remember that little game called Simon Says? Yeah, you know, it's whenever you do something Simon doesn't say, you're out. I know my little granddaughter the other day was playing that game, Simon Says, and I said we should change it to Pa Says because that's more important. You know, in the kids' game, if they tell you to hop on your feet and Simon didn't say it, then you're wrong. Anyone ever played the game? In fact, some of them probably last night, this morning on the way to church, you were probably playing Simon Says. It is interesting. I have to say this because I thought about it this morning. You know, as I got older in life, I don't know, probably 12, 13 years of age, wasn't very old, and my mom told me to do something one day, and I said, well, why do I have to do that, Mom? And she says, because I said so. Anyone's mom ever tell you that kind of thing? And so, being who I am, I quit back and said, you're not Simon. I didn't get a whipping, but probably should have. You know, but my point is, I don't know who Simon is, and I don't really care what he says. And I'm not sure who invented the game Simon Says, probably somebody named Simon. But what I wanted to talk to you this morning is what Jesus said. Because what Jesus says is more important than what Simon says. Now, I don't have time to explain everything that Jesus says because he says so much. That's why you have your Bible. You know, I'm going to even include that more than not just what Jesus says, but what does the Word say? In fact, that is the number one thing my grandfather always would tell us whenever we'd ask him a question. He said, well, what does the Bible say? You know, if you don't know what the Bible says about something, then how can you pray about it? How can you act upon it? So today we're going to look at a few things that Jesus says, but before that, we're going to start out with Jesus' first miracle, the wedding in Cana in John chapter 2. I'm looking at the New Living Translation, you know, and so here was a wedding, and they ran out of wine at the wedding. And so we'll pick it up at verse number 3, John 2, 3, New Living Translation. It says, the wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him they have no more wine. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. When you read the New Living Translation, it says, dear woman, that's not our problem. That's what Jesus said. It's actually in red letters. Anyway, so then Jesus replied, he says, my time has not come. And so it's interesting. He told his mom it's not time for him to perform miracles. You know what his mom's next words were? Verse number 5, but his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. And then Jesus began to tell them what to do. So it's really important to do whatever Jesus tells us, whatever he commands. What does Jesus say? You know, like I said, what Jesus says is way, way, way more important than what Simon says. You know, but I mean, for the game, what Simon says is pretty important, but after the game is over, it doesn't matter. But you know what? For life, Jesus' words is way more important than Simon's words. I mean, Simon won't get you through life. He might get you through a game, but not through life. So let's look at a few things. And not this, like I said, I can't look at everything Jesus says in the Bible. That would be way too much. I mean, we could, but we might be here for a couple of hours. And most of you want to eat at some point in time. All right, so let's look at John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Once again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation today just because that's the one I'm reading from today. All right, John 13, 34 and 35 says this. Once again, it's in red letters, Jesus talking. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And the word disciples, he's not just talking to his 12 disciples, you 12 and no more. He's talking about the followers of Christ. He says one way that we should know that people are Christians is they love one another. Now Jesus says, not Simon, but once again Jesus, he says this is a new commandment. You know, realize a commandment is not a suggestion. It's not, hey guys, you know what? It would be nice if you loved one another. He didn't say that. He says, I command you. In fact, he says, I command you in Jesus' name, in his own name, to love one another. Now, it does not say to love your family, to love your spouse, you know, to love a few friends. It says to love one another. Who is one another? Anybody who's around. Well, yeah, but that person does this and that person does that and that. I don't care what that person does. Jesus said, not Simon, but Jesus said, love them anyhow. Yeah, but how can I do that? Well, that's whenever you have to, you know, put on the mind of Christ. Because you know what? Jesus hung out with a lot of people in life that most of you probably wouldn't have hung out with. Why? Because he cared about the people who were down and out. He cared about the people that were rude and obnoxious. You know, I've heard many people tell me or say over the years, I have trouble with my love walk. And interesting part about it is that was one of the big commands that Jesus gave us. In fact, Jesus gave us two commandments. And he said if we fulfilled those two commandments, we would keep all the Ten Commandments and all the other commands that the word says. And the two commandments were to love the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and love our neighbor as ourself. Only a commandment of love, and all we have to do is love. And it is interesting, my grandfather, you know, whenever after he passed, and even before he passed, most people always said that the most outstanding thing that he always attributed was his love walk, not his faith walk. Although he's known as the father of the modern day faith movement, people talk about his love walk. And I think that's very important. How is your love walk? You know, other gospels tell us to love our neighbor as ourself, and it's pretty easy to love yourself. Many people love themselves, and in fact, there are some people, I don't know if they're in this room or not, but some people that take a selfie of themselves every day. So obviously they must love themselves enough to take a picture of themselves every day. You know, I like the selfies where people have their posing, and you know, they're like doing all these, you know, there's a person, I'm not going to name who they are, that they go to the gym quite a bit. And every day at the gym, they take a selfie of themselves in the mirror at the gym. You know, so they love themselves quite a bit. All right. But the Bible says that we should love one another just as much as we love ourselves. And the more you love yourself, it's harder to love somebody else that much. And, you know, but hey, Jesus said, love. Care about people. He didn't say care about them whenever they live the same kind of life that you want them to live. He says care about them regardless. I mean, I've heard people, you know, say, well, I hate this or I hate that kind of person, or I hate Democrats, I hate Republicans, I hate, you know, we serve a world that's full of hate. But the Bible says love. Jesus said love. He didn't suggest it. He commanded it. You know, and that's one of the most important things that Jesus said. And I found that, you know what? The more you walk in love, the better you feel. You know, whenever you have contention against other people, it's not a good feeling. All right, we're going to go on to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 18, verses 21, 22, New Living once again. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times. And what did Jesus say? No, 70 times seven. not seven times, but 70 times seven, and basically implying, you know what, you got to forgive them over and over and over and over and over and over again. So what does Jesus say? Forgive. Forgive. Yeah, but this person's wronged me many times. Doesn't matter. Jesus said, forgive. I mean, Peter was like, you know what? Seven times, that's enough. I mean, that's God's number, right? You can't go more than seven. No, Jesus said 70 times seven. 490 times. 70 times seven. So he didn't suggest that. He commanded us, let's forgive. Jesus said forgive. You know, because I know people that hold grudges. They have trouble forgiving. But you know, if it's really important to do what Simon says, how much more important is it to do what Jesus said? I mean, love people, forgive people. Yeah, but they've done this and they've done that. You know what? People are people. They're going to do stuff. I mean, you know, what I've had to do in my life, if I make excuses for people. People are people. People are going to do things. People are going to say things. People are going to wrong you. People are going to say things against you, against your family, against anyone. But you know what? It doesn't really matter. In fact, it is interesting because family, especially like brothers, I mean, I've watched my three boys. They'll yell at each other. They'll do whatever. But you know, a few minutes later, they're out there playing with you. You know, they're playing, no problem. They've forgiven each other and they went on. Brothers forgive each other pretty quickly usually. But, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes hold grudges for years. You know, I remember Brother Hagin talking about when he went to go pastor a church, and one of the first things that some lady did was come and tell him about some argument that her and some other lady had, and she, Brother Hagin thought she was going to say, you know, it happened a few weeks ago, and he said, how long ago did it happen? And he says, well, like 12 years come next Thursday. And she wanted to make sure that everyone in the church knew about that, so wanted to make sure the new pastor knew about this thing. You know, Jesus says, forgive. Amen. And once again, you feel better when you forgive. Now, understand, just because you forgive them, they might not forgive you, but that doesn't matter. Because I've heard people, well, if they forgive me, I'll forgive them. Well, who cares what they're going to do? That's not up to you. It's up to them to do what Jesus said, not up to you. It's up to them to love you, not up to you. You don't, you know, we don't always see eye to eye on stuff. And obviously, they're going to have to stand before God, just like you're going to have to stand before God at some point in time. And I can't make them forgive me, but I can forgive them regardless of what they do. See, it's not about them. It's about what we do. Let's look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Jesus said this. Once again, it's in red letter. I mean, you know, see, it's pretty easy to see what Jesus said if you have a modern Bible, because it's in red letters. Jesus said the things that were in red letters in Matthew 7, 1 and 2 says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Now, so Jesus, quite frankly, says, don't judge one another. You know, and he says that you should treat other people as, you know, you want to be treated. You know, skipping down to verse number 12, it says this, what we call the golden rule, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all things, of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. You know, so first of all, we should treat other people like we want to be treated, not treat them before they treat you. You know, he said, well, yeah, but they don't treat me good, so why should I treat them good back? Because Jesus said.
That's right.
And Jesus is greater than Simon. I mean, it's interesting, you know, you're going to hop on one foot because Simon says so, but you're not going to do what Jesus said? I mean, you know, I've seen people contort themselves, do all kinds of stuff because Simon said to do it. All to win a game. But judging one another is very important because it says ultimately you're going to be judged by how you judge people. That's why I don't judge anybody, because you know what? Really, what they do is up to them. Whether I like it, whether I don't like it, whether they live their life the way I believe I should live my life, it doesn't matter. I'm not here to judge them. I'm here to love them. They will be judged at some point in time, but I'm not the judge. You know, and I think maybe we've watched too many reality TV shows where people are getting judged, and one of the most famous judges is Simon. You know, it is kind of interesting. And not the guy who invented Simon Says, Simon. You know, so we watch all these, you know, judge shows and things. And, you know, and on those television shows, it kind of really matters what the judges say, you know. But in life, it doesn't matter what anybody says. You know what? It doesn't matter if people even judge you, because whatever they say doesn't matter. But they're going to have to be judged on what on how much you judge one another. I mean, I don't judge anybody. And now, there are people that do things that I wouldn't do. But you know what? Here's what my thing is. That's between them and God. That's not for me to tell them what to do. I'm not their moral standard. Now, I can suggest, but I'm not here to tell them. And I'm going to love them regardless of what they do or how they do. Because Jesus said so. You know, but by reading this, you know, basically this says you could be the best Christian ever. You could follow all the laws. But if you judge people, you're still going to be judged. And you're going to be judged by the same manner that you judge somebody else, the Bible says. The same manner. And so if you don't want to be judged harshly, don't judge other people harshly. I didn't say it. Simon didn't say it. Jesus said it. Do not judge. He said to love. He said to forgive. You know, we have another thing, and I'm not in my notes or whatever. Remember that when Jesus says that he without sin cast the first stone? You know, when everybody kind of left because, you know what? Everybody knew that they had sin in their life too. You know, maybe your sin is different than their sin, but we all have sins. We've all done things wrong. You say, yeah, but you know, I just lied to somebody. I didn't murder him. You realize those two sins are all on the list of 10? I mean, it doesn't say that lying is worse than murdering, although we would think so, and although you're probably going to spend more time in a penitentiary for murdering than you will for lying. But, you know, we've all come short of the glory of God. Some people have come shorter than others in our opinion, but you know what? God loves them anyhow. You know, I think about this. I think about the Apostle Paul. Remember the guy that used to be named Saul? The guy that held papers, and you know, where he had a right to put Christians to death. That's pretty bad. He did some bad things, but you know what? God still loved him. God still showed mercy, forgiveness, and love, and this man went on to pen most of the New Testament. Words that we speak on a daily basis. I mean, scriptures that I quote every day would have never been written if God didn't have love and mercy and compassion on somebody. You know, but so many times that we don't have love, mercy, and compassion, we judge people.
because they've done things wrong. I get it. People have done things wrong, but so have you. Let's move on because I don't have time to talk about everything that Jesus said, but let's talk about the keynote scriptures from this ministry. Mark chapter 11. I'll go ahead and read it from the New Living Translation today. Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 22. Everyone knows verse 22 is my favorite verse in the Bible. Then Jesus said to his disciples in red letters, have faith in God. Jesus said it, I didn't say it, but we should have faith in God. That's really important. Then he goes on to say, I tell you the truth that you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. It says, you know what? When you come to a mountain that you don't know what to do, whenever something is standing in your way, you have the authority to speak to your mountain. That's what Jesus said. Now, it is kind of interesting because many people have criticized our ministry, you know, for the being the, what we call the name it and claim it bunch, whenever all we do is just preach what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Now, you realize that Jesus didn't say to come to your mountain and begin to beg for it to move. Because you know what? I found that in here recently, I've seen a lot of beggars and very few speakers. They get to a situation that they don't know what to do, and they begin to beg. They're, you know, and what do I mean beg? You're like, well, please, Jesus, do something. Please, please, please. You know, and sometimes people, I've heard people, you know, they're like, well, they pray about something, and then they pray about it again, and they pray about it again, and pray about it again, and pray about it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't pray multiple times, but you know what? My grandfather always taught me, you pray till you get peace, you get to the answer. Then once the answer comes, you have it by faith, and the rest of the time you say, thank you, Jesus, it's done. Right. You don't pray for it again, it's already been done by faith. And when you come to a mountain and that mountain seems big, it seems like there's no way through that mountain, you speak to that mountain and say, mountain, you must move because my faith is in God, not because I'm special. Not because I've done anything special, but because I'm acting upon the word of God. I'm speaking with what Jesus told me, that I have the right to speak. And see, first of all, I put my faith in God. Then I speak to a mountain. And when I speak to the mountain, I say it with my mouth, but it says that most importantly, I also have to believe. Many people are saying it with their mouth, but they don't really believe it. But why should I not believe it? Because Jesus told me I can. And he's not Simon. He's greater than Simon. He said, I can say to a mountain, and it has to be moved. It doesn't say it might be moved. It doesn't say if you pray hard enough. It doesn't say if you fast and pray. It doesn't say if you give a big offering. It says if you say, if you believe, if you say. Now, first of all, it says to put your faith in God. Then it says to speak. Speak to your mountain. Command it to be moved. And we don't have too much time to talk more about that. But I like right here in the New Living, it says, but you must really believe it will happen. Not just act like you believe it happened. You must believe. You must believe. All things are possible to them that believes. All things means everything is possible. Mountains move because you believe. Anyway, it goes on. It will happen, and have no doubt in your heart. Verse 24, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Whatever you pray for, whatever you ask will be yours. That's what Jesus said. If you believe. Now he goes on to say, once again, these are all red letters. All Jesus says, all right? But when you're praying, first forgive if anyone you are holding a grudge against, so your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins too. So those things I read before, how we should have love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness for others, those are important for you to have your faith work in your life. These are things that Jesus said. And the things that Jesus says are way more important than what Simon says. Simon's just telling you to hop on a foot and clap your hands and jump up and down. And if I'm Simon, I'm saying Simon says to hit your neighbor because, you know, it's kind of like that or whatever. Hit your neighbor on the other side, punch your brother, whatever, you know. But those are things that Simon says. But Jesus said, you know what? Let's forgive. Let's have mercy. Let's have compassion. Let's not judge. But when we do these things, then we can speak to our mountains. Things will change. Let's believe. Only believe. And let's look at one more thing in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And like I said, Jesus said way more things. And then if we want to include things that the Bible says, Paul said all kinds of things. But I'm just giving you a few things that Jesus says that will help you live your life today. But not just today. It help you in the future. Because you know what? What we do, we will be judged for at some point in time in life. But I want to leave you off with one of the things that I don't know that we all understand. John chapter 14, verse number 12. Once again, this is red letters. Jesus talking, not Simon, but Jesus. He says this, I tell you the truth. So see, he started out to say, I'm telling you, this is absolutely the truth. This is not like I'm faking or I'm joking or might be the truth, might not. He says, I tell you the truth. He says, anyone who believes, you know what? Anyone, even includes you. Remember, we just talked about the over at Mark 11 that we must believe. We must really believe. But anyone who believes, what do we believe? Believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. So Jesus says, you know what, guys? This is the truth. If you believe in me, the works that I have done and greater things you shall also do. Why? Because I said so. I said so. And you know, so many times I think about the scripture and I think about all the things that Jesus did, you know, when he walked on the water, when he changed the water into wine and how many people were healed and set free and you know, all these things that he did. But he says that he said, first of all, I tell you the truth. He didn't lie to us. He says the things that I did and greater things shall you do. I mean, that's a big deal. This wasn't Simon that told us this. This was Jesus Christ. And he started off with, I'm telling you the truth. Now, many people think, well, you know what? It would be nice to be able to do these things. Jesus didn't say it would be nice. He says to do it. He says to do it. See, it wasn't Nike was the first one that says, just do it. It was Jesus. Just do what I say. In fact, it was Jesus' mom whenever he told those people, do what he says. I tell you what, if you do what he says, you'll be blessed. And the things that he did and greater things shall you do. I didn't say that. Simon didn't say that. Jesus said it himself. Because he says, because I'm going to the Father. Verse number 13, it says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. So what did he say? Father God, we thank you for whatever you need in Jesus' name. That's how we ask in his name. That's not a long prayer. He didn't say, if you pray a long prayer, then I'm going to do it. He didn't say if you pray good enough. He didn't say if you ask pretty please with sugar on top. He didn't say if you beg me. He didn't say if you give a big offering. He said if you ask. Now, you know, unless your parents are hard of hearing, which some of them might be as they get older, obviously. But, you know, whenever you go and let's say you have to ask your parents for money, your parents usually hear you the first time. And they're going to respond. Either they're going to say yes or no. Or they're going to say, well, I would give you if I had enough or whatever. But you know what? Jesus says, whatever you ask, I'm going to do it. Because see, he has the wherewithal. See, wherewithal is an awesome word. There's no amount that's too big for Jesus. There's no amount that's too big for God. There's no mountain too high. There's no valley too low. It doesn't matter what you ask for. He says he'll do it. You know, and the reason he says, I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Then verse number 14, he repeats himself. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So he was like pretty plain with it. Whatever you need, whatever you ask, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. So what do you need? You know, many people are walking around needing stuff. Whether it's finances, whether it's healing, whether it's, you know what? But Jesus said, not Simon. Jesus said, if you need something, ask me and I will do it. He not only said it once, he said it twice in two verses next to each other. Anytime you repeat yourself, and I'm good at repeating myself over and over again, trying to bring home a point. Anytime you repeat yourself means you're trying to show somebody that that's what you really mean it. Even before that, he says that whatever I did that you can do because I go to the Father. So basically, things are unlimited. This is what Jesus said. Whatever you ask. Now, here's the thing. If you don't ask, you can't get anything. You have not because you ask not. Now, here's the other thing. That the devil, he's a liar. We know this, but John chapter 10, verse number 10. He's a liar. Everybody knows the devil's a liar? He'll try to lie to you. The reason that we don't get what Jesus says that we should have is because we start listening to the liar. He'll try to tell us, you know what, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. You know, maybe God's on vacation. He's probably at Disney World. Maybe if you go there, maybe he'll be there. You know, whatever. The devil's a liar. But you know what? He lied. He did the same thing. Remember when Jesus was tempted? And he said, do this. And Jesus said, well, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. But you know what? I just read a bunch of things that were written because Jesus said so. Not Simon, but Jesus. So you know what? In our life, if we'll remember what Jesus said, our life will be so much better, so much easier. And so the next time you're ever around some kids or your grandkids or other people and you hear them playing a game called Simon Says, I want you to remember, man, all the things that Jesus said. Everything that Jesus said. You know what? And we should be what we call a doer of God's word. We should do what Jesus said. Instead of crying about our mountains, we should speak to them. Instead of getting mad at everybody, we should love them, forgive them, and not judge them. Man, if we have needs in our life, we should just ask and get them met instead of complaining about them. Yeah, but I have this need. It doesn't matter what your need. It doesn't say, well, if your need's too big, you cannot ask. You know, but if it's small, you can ask me. No, it doesn't say that. It says whatever you ask. Whatever. Basically, Jesus said whatever. Whatever you ask. No matter how big, no matter how small. So that's the thing. It doesn't, if your need's small, that's okay. He still wants to meet that too. My mom asked Jesus for parking places. It's not a big deal. Maybe it's better to walk sometimes. But she likes to park close, and she'll ask them for parking places. And she gets them because she asked. And we'll say, well, you can't ask for that. Well, the Bible says you can ask for whatever you want to ask for. That's what she wants to ask for. You know, maybe I don't care. I just go park. I need to walk anyway. You know, sometimes I've complained about had to park so far away, but I never ask. You know, and man, what do you need? Ask for it. I just want you to remember, what did Jesus say? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father God, help us to remember the words of your son, Jesus. Help us to know that we can speak his words and the words that he spoke to us, so that we'll live our life by these words. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without making him Lord and Savior of their life. If you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I've never asked Jesus to become Lord and Savior of my life, and so I really don't do what he says to do because I've never accepted him. So if you're here this morning, you say, Craig, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Lift your hand. We want to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you say, at one time I was walking with the Lord, but I turned my back and I went away. This morning, I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. If you're here and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand and we want to pray with you. Across this auditorium. Is there a hand back there? The usher says there's a hand back there. All right. Anybody else that says, I've never been saved, or I want to be saved? Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, you can tonight, or this morning, sorry. I preach at night more than I do morning time. If you're here and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate yourself to God, or you want to be filled with the Spirit, I want to ask you that you stand up right now. I want you to come down here. We want to minister to you. In fact, everyone stand up. But if you lift your hand, they said there's a hand back there. If you lift your hand for prayer, come down here. We want to pray for you.
And I surrender all.
If you lifted your hand, prepare, or maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you know you should have. Come on down. Come on down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Father. And I surrender all. And I surrender all.
How you doing? How you doing? God bless you.
And all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Amen. What you guys came down here for are spiritual gifts. They belong to you. Whether it's to rededicate yourself to God, to be filled with the Spirit, they're all gifts and they belong to you. If I said I want to give you these books, how would you get these books? I said, I want to reach out and get them. There you go. We have some for you too in a few minutes, all right? What I want you guys to do is I want you to lift one hand toward heaven. And by doing that, you're saying, I'm receiving my gift. You know, I'm thinking about giving gifts. Think about Christmas time. Christmas time is a great time. We give gifts, and usually they put the gifts under the tree. You know, like, my name is Craig, and it will say to Craig from whatever, mom and dad or whatever, and it'll be under the tree. But Christmas Day comes, and I get to open that gift. Today's your Christmas Day. You get to open a gift that belongs to you. But it's been there a long time sitting under the tree, but it's time to open it up. Or maybe at one time you opened it up, but it's time to reopen up that gift again. Amen. I'm going to pray with you right here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these precious people, Father. We thank you, Father, for saving them. We thank you, Father, for forgiving them of their sins. We thank you, Father, for filling with the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in their life today. We thank you for life-changing experience. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.